Good evening. It's Wednesday night. It's right around 7 o'clock here on the west coast of California. We haven't slid into the ocean yet. There's a lot of people that would like that to occur. But we're up in the Sierra Nevada foothills, so when the rest of the state goes in, we'll be right at the shoreline, is what I think.
We'll have a beautiful beachfront.
It'll be very crowded, but unfortunately, a lot of them, the way it works out, a lot of them get washed away.
Hopefully, you'll have some water to take care of that drought.
That's right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Let's just say part of the drought problem will be eliminated in one swoop. the San Andreas Fault, like, was, I guess, somehow was installed after the city of Los Angeles because it runs right through Los Angeles, and then it runs right to the city of San Francisco, right into the ocean. So I don't know how they installed it, or because they certainly wouldn't have built the cities on top of the major fault. But they, there you have it. So we have, they did. Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, it was no fault of their own, David.
It was no fault of their own, Harry tells us, and we're always happy for that guy.
The no-fault bridge.
Can you hand me my tea, please?
I wonder if there's no-fault insurance.
That's right.
Apparently not. Yeah, thank you. So, in spite of all of that, I had a great week. I had a good week, and it's on the uptick, too. It's on the uptick. I'll tell you what the process is when I open this book. I start out and I'm baffled. I read these chambers, right? You know, I'm 13, 12, 11, all this stuff. And I read them. I'm baffled. I get some kind of a response, and I have a very definitive response to the reading. But then I start thinking, well, I'm going to say something about that, right?
Yes.
And then I go, I don't know, what am I going to say? And so this trauma starts sometime around Saturday, because by then I've started to come down off of the class.
Yes.
And a few other things occur, and I start going, well, what am I going to say? And I have no idea. And it just eats away at me. But I'll tell you what happens, okay?
Yes.
I'll tell you what happens if I sit there and I wait. You know, where does it say, wait on the Lord? We have our Christians are here tonight. Wait on the Lord. And I just sit there and I wait, and signs come. And then if I'm paying attention, and I am, if I'm paying attention, then they get reaffirmed. Okay? And then I start to get a sense of where to go with it. And, it's not like I have anything unique to say or anything like that. It's just that that's the arc that I go through in this. And I'm so thankful. I feel like we're really quite lucky.
Oh, totally.
Susan, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Just a little slow.
And
join the crowd, lady.
And is Nortiana on? So I'm sitting there. And I'm reading this material, right? Now, last week when we ended the class, we assigned people to read together, right?
Yes.
Did we not do that?
Yes, that occurred.
And we went through a whole process because I reread the log and it says, yes, we did do it. And people actually said they were going to do it with one another.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, did anybody actually do it other than the potential of George and Susan? I think maybe. Did you guys actually get a chance to do it this afternoon?
We did. It was wonderfully productive.
Yes, we did. And it was.
Did anybody else do it?
Path World says she did. Videra says that she and Simon did. Mark Roach says he did too.
Okay. Excellent. Very, very, very good. Now, so we're going to read the third. I think it's the 13th chamber. Yeah.
Yes.
And we're. So I'm sitting here. I'm just going to go ahead and say it, okay? I did the reading with Nortiana.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very difficult for me because this is a strong, pretty bilingual individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there thinking, well, what am I going to do here? So I'm practicing for a few days. I have the Spanish ABD, which I didn't bring with me.
We have one up there.
But I've got it at home. That I'm reading the 11th chamber in this case over and over again to see if I can get my pronunciation right in such a way that it would be evocative, right?
Yes.
That I can actually transmit something during this reading to this individual, because that was going to be my job. But this is a Spanish speaker.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so I gave up. I failed, and I said, I can't do it. And I just apologized. I said, I'm just going to read to you in English, and you read to me in Spanish. So I'm not a Spanish speaker, right?
As far as I know, you haven't confessed to such at this point.
And I'm working at it, but I can't carry on a dialogue very much. So here's what happened. So she starts to read to me, and at the first, let's look at 11 real quick. I think there's like four paragraphs maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about right, Ivan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first paragraph, I'm listening to her in Spanish. She's speaking, she's delivering this reading with great professionalism. And I'm listening to it, but I'm caught up in the words, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to the words. And then something happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happened. And when that occurred, I was transported. What was the word that you used, Nortiana? Llevado? I was taken.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand the words. And the words in this particular one in Spanish are, you have to read it a bit to begin to get it. But, so what happened there? I don't get it. What happened? Anybody?
Transportado.
And there was another word, though, like llevado or... I didn't print it out. I was taken. I was carried away.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, but she was reading in Spanish. I still don't get it.
Okay.
Sounds like attunement to me.
Attunement?
Yeah. Resonance.
The vibratory signature captured you.
Somebody in the room here is saying that they don't get why I'm surprised. She says, and then she said these words, my being got it? But I'm an English speaker.
Maybe your essential self is bilingual.
Ivan's claiming my essential self is bilingual.
I'm hoping that this will be the last time we have this conversation about how, you know, my mind is an English speaker and my being is not English, but it should be something, you know, come on. if we're going to go down this track, I'm going to tell you about how my first experience of dreaming in Spanish went. Then we'll have some difficulties. David.
I was taken by the words, okay?
Good. That is a good
That's
word.
All I know.
Very good word.
I was carried away.
Speak up.
I was taken by the words.
Yes.
That's what, so.
David Mark Roach says that resonance seems like is what happened.
That's what I'm trying to get at here. And I know I'm pushing the envelope and I'm of a point here, but I am driving that point home, okay? I'm driving it home for all the unbelievers out here because you think that it just happens and you got to work at it, kiddo. You got to work at it because you have to work at it all the time because the question that keeps coming up and that this is the sign for that came up all this week was, how do you make, is the ABD applicable to your life? How do you make it into your life? Right? That's the question. How is it relevant to your life? Well, it was very relevant to my life when I did that reading. Then that reading was done for me, and I became the Voyager. I practiced the effort of becoming the Voyager at that moment. That's the practice I'm talking about, is this practice of what I call, you know, active, dynamic surrender. And it's the idea of the, have you heard this word, acquiescence?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so acquiescence is it's like a whole being acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it felt like today. It was an acquiescence to the space. Okay? Now, that's the first part of it.
Now, I'm going to add a little piece.
Look at this.
I know, I'm sitting here like a Cheshire cat just wondering when I can pop this in.
Go ahead.
Afterward, thus, priests of the labyrinth can effect the liberation of consciousness before death, during the ultimate labyrinth voyage, and even into the state of rebirth. Even the lowest of the low can be turned back from the lower realms by the concentrations and invocations, which I would imply occurred at the end, and can attain liberation or at least a fortunate rebirth simply by, alternative words, giving up pride and arrogance and asking for help.
So the ego is the most creative device I think I've ever seen. This thing, I mean, it is just spectacular. It's amazing to me. I mean, I start to do something that maybe, you know, someone would consider like has a mind of its own. A spiritual effort, and I go, you know, and like one microsecond later, the ego says, yeah, that was really good. That was really, you did a good job.
Very, very fine
job. And that's called pennies in heaven.
Mm.
And that's why the concept of prayer is, it's a really delicate thing to be in that moment of prayer between the two worlds. And at that moment, and George knows this very, very clearly, you got to give up, and you aren't there. It is, prayer is occurring. But I'm still not quite clear on what happened when this reading occurred.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
So where were you? as far as you could tell?
Well, as far as I could tell, so I'm getting this read. This is on Skype.
That was my first question. What was the?
It was on the we were in the computer on
mm-hmm.
Skype, and she was in some foreign land. Okay,
mm-hmm.
didn't matter. It was just this square on the screen.
Right, right.
And words were coming, and then this thing happened.
Mm-hmm. So, as far as you can tell. The receipt of the instructions was a full alignment hit because you didn't have any separation between your receiving it and the giving of it. Didn't matter that your words and their words were not in the same language. Is
that's
that correct?
That's the point I'm trying to
yeah.
make. So something
irrelevant,
happened.
Irrelevant factor like language and speech and sound and, you know, timing and transmission and all of the rest of that were irrelevant.
This individual is a
very
great
cool.
Poetic speaker. All right?
Okay.
And does a great job in speaking English, in my opinion. But when she's speaking Spanish, it's just this poetry
mm-hmm.
comes out. So, Tiana,
mm-hmm.
so what happened?
David, she has an entry in the log that you may be interested in when you're ready.
In English or in Spanish?
In English.
Okay, go for it.
She says, it is the sound, I think, not the language where the teaching is contained.
Getting closer.
Lost Horizon used the word elevated. He was curious. He asked it as a question. Could that be the word?
Lifted. Taken. The reason I'm doting on this.
Never mind the reason. I like
okay.
the doting. Never
I'm
mind
okay.
the reason.
Then good. The point of it is this, is that I would imagine that the experience that occurred, and George and Susan, I'm going to want, we're going to spend, I'd like to hear a little bit what occurred,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to expand on that, but in a few minutes, if that's okay. But I believe what occurred with me may be an objective occurrence that occurs with us. Now think about this. What if, you know, when I, a few years ago, because we were talking about my father at the dinner right now, I read for him for the 49-day cycle after he died.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read that 11th chamber, he wasn't there in the room with me. Pardon? I don't even know if I felt it happen, but what I do know is where I was at.
And don't keep us guessing.
And the work I was doing at that time was to surrender to those words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The words became a transport mechanism for me when I was reading for my father.
Right.
That's why I could say, Ivan, no, he's no longer sitting in that chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So let me post it something.
Yeah.
The delivery mechanism,
mm-hmm.
or the sound, we can use the word sound because it's one that we all agree has a lot of different qualities. It overlaps in a lot of senses. So the delivery mechanism, the sound, we use the word resonance. These words are alluding to what we don't actually have a specific term for. I like to use the word transmission because it implies a certain potency. but also it implies to me a specificness. It's specific. And that's how I understand when a delivery occurs of an instruction and an acknowledgement is received by the recipient of the instruction, that is a specific transmission. And there is a... Oh, no.
You know, I think it's because this cable is bouncing on...
Is it
so we're getting a little static.
So when a specific resonance has reverberated in the being, and I'm using the being as in both parts, the reader and the voyager, in the being, it has a quality to it. So it's you know, it's not really technical, but in a certain way it's very technical because you're talking about the setting aside of yourself, firstly, the surrender as you're describing it, the participation in the transmission and the receipt of that by the voyager. So those parts contain this quality, and I think you're using the correct word there, elevated or taken or transported is a great word for this. And these are mundane terms for something that's extremely fine, very, very fine.
And I want to bring it out of the closet. That's all. I want to bring it out of the closet because I think that what Pat's saying is very precise. And we have an opportunity here to discuss some of these things that, yeah, a lot of us know. We've done it before. We've read. We've done a lot of readings, and we have these. But now we're taking it to another level, aren't we? We're saying, okay, you know, how does this thing work? Well, I'll tell you how it works, is that this individual was in the same state I was. She didn't exist at that moment.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, maybe it was my vibratory fear of getting or not getting Spanish for the first two or three sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And when I could drop that, I think, like, the whole cavern opened up.
Yeah, the whole psyche set itself aside.
And I was able, there wasn't... Here's an interesting point. There wasn't so much that I set myself aside, but rather that I went to this other opening.
Okay.
That's a very important point. Okay, as the voyager, it's an important point because you can't battle the ego, but you can kind of like turn your head away from it. Turn your head away from it, and you says, oh, I see, there's that over there.
Okay, you need to maybe elucidate a little bit more, but I just want to put one little other piece in here. It's in the form of confirmation.
Yeah.
The Eurocon was an event where there were five simultaneous language translations occurring in the same room as the speaker was giving a talk or a workshop. So after that experience, most of us who attended that Eurocon had this quality of listening, which was not just for what was said, but also for how it was said in all of those other languages. So there was this pause. It's something like that I think you're referring to, which is you're not in response mode, you're not in reaction mode. Oh, I got that. You're still on listening. You're on extended listening. And it makes a space.
It's even to the point where I'm almost not in the and I'm receiving mode.
Correct.
It's not like I am receiving.
Right, exactly.
So how do we then guide ourselves when we are in these invocational spaces? And this is why, you know, I've heard the term before, the guiding mechanism, there's a certain mood that you use. And it's you keep your eyes attentive, and when it's there, it shows up. It's you point yourself, in a sense, to the direction that needs be, and a certain form, you're penetrated in a certain form. George?
Yeah.
There?
Yeah.
Susan? I was wondering if the two of you could speak briefly about what it was like to read to each other today.
Susan, do you want to go ahead first?
Sure. Well, for me, I couldn't have been any closer to being in the space of just relaxation and in the moment. And so the words really hit me differently. I don't know. I just found it was very relaxing, and I found the thing I said immediately to George was, these guys don't seem unresponsive at all.
Okay. Good.
You know, again, for myself, 3 points. One, I felt I was reading to myself as much as I was reading to Susan. That is to say, I was reading to the essential self within both of us, reminding ourselves that we are the clear light of unity of everything existing. And we're being reminded of the way in which our consciousness fragments into multiplicity and diversity as we go down the ladder down the dimensional ladders.
Orient this a little bit, if you would. What did you read one to another?
Okay, good point. We decided to read chambers 11 through 16.
Wow. Okay.
And I began by reading the introductory material of the unresponsive guides that leads up to chamber 11. So we not only read the preparatory material, but then we actually read chambers 13, 14, 15, and Susan read chambers 11, 12, 13, Susan read chambers 14, 15, 16. And one of the most important things for me in our reading was, after I had finished my reading, all this material, Susan said, George, before I start my reading, I want to do the obligatory reader's invocation. And I must say, what a difference that makes when we orient ourselves in the obligatory reader invocation, and then began to read the chambers, because that really does bring us back into the clear light of our essential self, and it serves as a deep reminder of what we're trying to remember and recall personally.
So this is a brilliant insight Susan had, and we should remember this. That's very important point, Susan, that you grabbed for all of us now, okay? Because this isn't just like a linear mental exercise. This is a work of invocation, and there it is, right? Isn't that what we do to start the darn thing with?
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
With, like, ringing the bell or whatever else you would do to put you into the space.
Okay. When I was going to ask Nortiana a question, at one of them, because we're experimenting, right? Everybody's experimenting,
yes.
And this is really, really wonderful.
This is a lab.
It's a lab here. And at one point, I had stopped and I said, "Let's. We're going to ring the bell to open the space." And we did that. We didn't do the... At one point, I actually said, "This reading is directed to the being of Carmen Cedeno." You know, just this... Well, I don't know. I mean, I just... All I'm saying is, I was wondering... I think we did it back and forth a couple of times, and I was wondering, was that different when that terminology was used to open the space for you? Yeah?
Are you asking?
I'm asking. Yeah, but then we're going to come back to George and Susan because I have a question for Susan. It's like 4 a.m. in the morning, so. She's been to bed. Well, she's posing, you're considering that. Go ahead and read the answer, Harry.
She says, "From the beginning, even when you didn't say my name, I felt the reading as directed to me."
Okay.
I assume that is what you're referring to. There are several other comments in the log.
Okay. Before we get to the comments and cleaning those up, I want to ask Susan, what was it like for you reading to George?
It was very natural.
Okay.
I don't know. I felt like he read first, and that had put me in a space that I was already at a higher place. So then when I started reading, it just was a continuation.
Okay.
What are you getting at?
Did he get it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I felt so.
I'm getting back to, Pat used a very important word earlier. She said transmission. And we have the ability to evidence that transmission right now, because we're working with our fellow voyagers, right?
We have pairs. We have a dynamic. So we can actually ask for feedback and rely on the feedback to help us strengthen at least the intentionality muscles, which I think is what Carmen was reflecting, is that your intention was strong enough that she knew it was directed to her specifically. And I wonder, is this where your point is?
Yeah, I was going to comment, and maybe Mark would have a comment on this also. That
I think we better take the phone.
Oh, so they can hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, please. Let them hear you.
He's,
Also, Ivan, Mark actually did write a comment on his reading with you, which will be interesting to read.
What have you got from, why don't you read Mark's comment?
Go ahead and read Mark's comment.
Mark is continuing a previous comment, but kind of breaking into what he says. He says, speaking of being in it, as in the reading. After reading with Ivan, I found his reading very directive and powerful. It had a powerful effect upon me. I had been having a day where the world seemed quite unfriendly and almost darksome. The reading, darksome, you know, well, ugly, I suppose. The reading was of the manifestation of the unresponsive guide. Then, after we read, I was walking the neighbor's dog in the park, and the world was still weird. And so, like it said in the reading, to, rather than withdrawing, to instead merge with the chamber. And it turned into an incredibly depthful experience, unlike I had had before. And I might just add, that's really an echo of what Susan and I experienced together. In the reading itself, we were both like having our batteries filled up. To deal. Susan's is facing a challenging health situation.
We'll get into that in a minute.
But even for myself. So anyway, Ivan, how about you?
Before I forget it, let me say what I was going to comment on the work that Mark and I did. I was struck by something. We used Second Life. We met in Second Life, and we read to each other. So what it amounted to is I was sitting at my computer and looking. So I'm looking out of the eyes of my avatar in Second Life. And we sat the avatars opposite each other. So I was reading to Grocky, to Mark's avatar. And when he read, he was reading to Agenbite, is my avatar. And at some point it struck me very strongly that the avatars are in the macro dimensions. You know, if the Second Life, if the Prosperity Ashram isn't the macro dimensions, I don't know what is. And they're, you know, basically just to activate that, to link with my avatar in Second Life is to experience radiations that EJ has created or designed or arranged or something like that for us. And it was very interesting. I just thought it was a very interesting perspective. And then, you know, there's a lot of things you could speculate about that, like the, you know, it may be that if my avatar may be closer to the Voyager than I am, but it's possible that if I spend enough time linking with my avatar, I may have that kind of experience that Mark described, which is that I become more like an avatar walking in the park, and the park becomes more like the Prosperity Path Ashram. But, you know, I was going to say that for myself, I think that I was reminded of something that I experienced before, which is that to be, the mala and the lama? To be the mala, to be the guide, to put myself in the position of the guide, for me to read to Grocky, I was very attentive. I was very riveted, you know, and I felt like I was really getting all of the content and so on. When I kind of relaxed and had like my avatar be read to through Grocky on Second Life, I actually, during this, the long passage on the introduction to the unresponsive guides, I definitely zoned out. I told Mark I zoned out on parts of it. But interestingly enough, when he got to chamber 11 and then chamber 12, which are the two that we read, I really noticed that, boy, I listened. I heard every word of 11, and I heard every word of 12, and I was right there with it. So it was interesting to me that I felt like there's a definite call, and what do you call it, like resonance, you know, like what David's talking about. It's like a call. The vibration, for me, got very strong with the, you know, now we're in the 11th chamber, and now we're in the 12th chamber. That was what I experienced. But then that other phenomenon is the one that I've experienced for many years around the Institute, which is that when you put yourself in a position to be of some use to the work, then you summon the degree of awakened state that you need for that task. It's the job that defines, that calls up the essential self, you know, the necessity
necessity calls up the mother of invention, whatever. It calls up the vibration, the vibratory signature. Mm.
Excellent.
Very good.
Mm. Very good. Very, very good idea.
Did we write that down?
Thank you, Ivan.
Well, you know,
I'm trying to think of where this is recorded. It's the, what is that talk called? I used to recommend it for years and years to people.
It's in The Great Adventure.
Oh, in The Great Adventure, that's good. But there's also a talk that EJ, that was recorded years and years ago of EJ's, called Mastering from Above, that's it. You guys, if you've never heard Mastering from Above, call Marvette and bug her. Go and look on the Talk of the Month. I mean, which site would it be, Marvette? The Cloister Recordings? TalkOfTheMonth.com. There's a talk called Mastering from Above. And it was sort of like the capsulization, the very, very convincing, very forceful summary of this idea that if you can become a guide, put yourself in the position to help others. If you take on a role that's beyond you, it's like that as-if process we were talking about a week or two ago. If I cannot walk through life in the waking state. I'm very bad at it. I mean, I access it intermittently and with difficulty, let's say. But I know something that will get me very fast into the waking state, which is having sitting down opposite somebody or being put in a chamber where somebody else needs me to deliver instructions to the essence, on the essence plane, on the essence vibration, and that'll just wham me right into a different state.
And I can tell you, after
living with Ivan for so many, many years, I can virtually guarantee that. That's available when he is in that position. Okay, I've got two other really important points that also swept through me this week that I wanted to bring out.
And before you do?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that people who might not be receiving communications from the Labyrinth Readers site or from whatever was the format that was sent out the communication, that it's stated here in this body with this group that we have, that we work together with, that one of the individuals from Porna's school was killed last Thursday morning, and that is always available if you should ever feel like you want to participate in doing readings for anyone. You do not need to be trained in the Labyrinth Readers course. All you need is your agreement, just like what Ivan described, your willingness, and the book. That's it. There's nothing else required. You can read for anyone at any time, anywhere that you so choose. So letting people know that.
Do you know how people can sign up to be on that list?
Yeah, I know several ways. They can go to the Google site and call up the group that's called LRS Reading Group.
Okay.
And you can sign up. You can. I know. I didn't do it.
I know you
did. It did it. You can sign up. You can send me an email. You can send David an email if you would like to be included in requests for readings.
And then you get the emails about things like Pat's just talked to us about.
Yeah, but also just to confirm that you don't have to be a certified Labyrinth reader or transit practitioner in order to do readings. Anyone can read for anyone at any time or out of time. Thank you.
We're going to continue this conversation on this particular segment of the Voyager, but I wanted to focus on Chamber 13. the 13th chamber.
I wanted to say real quick, my phone keeps cutting out.
Okay.
So I don't know if I missed anything.
No.
Okay. If I'm not there, I'll just be right back.
Okay. I'm going to be asking you a question, but in about 15 minutes, okay?
Okie doke.
So the 13th chamber, I'm going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Occlusion and identification with the primate self of my most recent incarnation reinforces my animal habits. Strong biological feelings and thoughts have accumulated within me, urging me to seek some refuge from these dissolving radiations which strip me of my former self. And my reactions have invoked the visage of the master of the order of the precious gemstone, who appears now in a flaming halo of light, his self-luminous and terrifying form rippling over the din, subtle form of the beloved, his dark hand enfolded over a clear black gemstone, emanating a dark light, hypnotically drawing me down. Hypnotically drawing me down. But I am not drawn down. Quickly, without resistance, I recognize this apparition to be the embodiment of my own sleeping attention, a vestigial remnant of my Voyager experience among human primates, all of which will soon be dissolved by the cleansing radiation which thrills through me now and allowing my presence to diffuse to all forms in the chamber. I am free.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you, David.
So how can we, how does the ABD apply to our everyday life?
Good, good point.
I fell over when I read this. So it's a direct reflection. So the sleeping habits that we have are carried over because the system reflects them back to us.
I just heard Mark, I believe, talking about something like the dark light hypnotically drawing me down in Los Angeles or Santa Monica or wherever he was.
Yeah.
So we have the opportunity to develop. Do we remember the four lines? So the four lines are all. Oh, and I forgot. Mine in Spanish. I've got them. And they, all phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled, not making any, and then the last line is what?
My habits will carry me through.
My habits will carry me through. So how does the ABD work in our everyday life? What habits
as are much as we let it.
As much as you let it.
What how does it do this?
Are you developing right now? And you think that this is a this class is a unique opportunity because you think, well, this is special, you know, where I can this invocation and
mm-hmm.
stuff. No, all day long. All day long these panic things are occurring. That's what we talked about last week is the
we
panic.
That it's constantly
we panic constantly.
A lower pulling on us.
And it's pulling. It's seeking refuge. We're seeking refuge in the lower because
mm-hmm.
it's just more comfortable. Because we've been there before.
Because it's what we know.
It's what we know. But look at the very last line. He goes, but I'm not drawn down. The Voyager says, I'm not drawn down. and recognizing the position that the Voyager is in, and the Voyager comes back and says, I am free. Okay? I am free. Now, I carried on about the whole thing, you know, how did the invocation occur in the reading with Mortiana, right?
Yes.
I kind of like carried on about that and stuff like that. And part of the thing that I wanted to get into is a huge topic, but I want to put it out there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that topic is this, that we are Voyagers. Okay? Now, Marvette, where is she? There she is. It's her birthday. And thank you so much for all of your work. It's such a delight. And so she posted this on this prosperity path. I think that's what it's called, prosperity path forum.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what she said. Taking stock of my efforts, I see the group gathered here, ostensibly reading and listening to, in their case, it was science fiction stories. In our case, it's the ABD. But yet at the same time, having the opportunity to use this all toward the same aim. This is what she is saying. Spending the currency of one's own life wisely, serving the highest possible purpose available to the help of our guide, E.J. Gold. The help we have accessible, Marvette continues, she continues, to us in the present is simply that, being in the present to get a far deeper understanding of being in the present. And then she goes, I will read the presence exercise, an excerpt from Talk of the Month, The Momentum of Invocation. Mm. Okay?
Beautiful.
So she hits it out of the park with that opening, right? And this, the currency of one's life.
Yeah.
How are we spending the currency
spending
of one's life?
Our currency.
And then there's this long quote, and she's suggesting that we go get that particular talk, Momentum of Invocation, which is Talk of the Month number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to skip around real quickly. Because in that talk, you know, you're just talking about how to invoke your presence and work with your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, it is possible in 6 months, maybe 1 year, to attain the status of a two-minute idiot. An idiot in the sense of anyone who struggles with his automatic phenomenal nature's biophysical logical conditioning. So after a year or two, you're in that position.
It's, yes.
Right?
Yes.
How long have we been working at this?
I refuse to say. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because it occurred to me this evening when I was brushing my teeth and flossing them with diligence to prepare myself to be here.
Brag, brag, brag.
And not contaminate this lovely device right here that I speak into. That perhaps what has been occurring, and I pondered this very deeply to myself, it's not that I'm living a different life, it's that I'm continuing to live the same life. And it's not that it's different, it's that I don't recognize it.
There you go.
And every time I'm skipping over the same thing that I skipped over the last time. So the question was, not so much like, well, when I wake up, you know, and I have those tiny little bits of presence, and I'm aware and all like that. No. That's not the question. The question is, what about paying attention to the times when I'm not awake?
So, when I read Death Chamber 13,
yeah,
and I'm thinking about all this stuff going around in my brain, right?
Yeah.
And all this stuff clicked around. And then I get this other email. Another hint came through. How do you plan this stuff, huh?
I don't know. You're doing a good job.
And then this person, so this particular person got an email. And the email, I'm not going to say who it is or who the email came from. It has nothing to do with this particular class. And the person writing the email described this other, this second person.
Right.
Right? And said, I'm going to read just a few things. It says, do you have a potent and expansive creativity? You know what the tribe needs, but that you need to be called on, called out to share that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have the ability to replace the old with the new, improve old, on old forms with focused, concentration, creative vision.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of Venus energy, the planet of love and beauty. You are a deeply beautiful dreamer, creative visionary, and a refined aesthetic and loving heart. Now, I happen to know both of the people, the person that wrote that, the person that received it, and they didn't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at all. I mean, vaguely, kind of in some theoretical way. And then the person that received that was having, like, just, like, immense difficulties, like, that's not me.
Oh. Push it away.
That's not really me. It's, sounds good. I hope that's what happens. But it's not me. And I started thinking about that a lot. I started thinking about that part of the difficulty we have is to grab the fact that we are voyagers.
Yeah.
To hold on to the fact that we are in fact voyagers. Because the guy in chapter 13 there, he says, I am free. Right?
Yes.
I am not drawn down quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that what it says?
Yes. I am not drawn down quickly without resistance. I recognize this apparition to be the embodiment of my own sleeping attention.
That means in that moment, that voyager was the voyager.
Yes.
The voyager with all hands.
In full.
Grasping
in
it with all
full.
Hands. Says, I am the voyager. And if we can be the voyager and acknowledge that we are the voyager and take on the mantle of that responsibility, then we have a different kind of shield within which to go out into the world. Because we embrace the fact that we are a voyager, and it gradually, ever so gradually, becomes a secondary fact that I am a sleeping machine. You are aware of it, you work with it, but it's, I am not that. And that's practical work on self.
I bet there are a few.
I was just wondering, are there any questions?
I bet there
Thank
might
you.
Be a few.
Comments?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Harry.
Oh, wow. It's hard to know where to begin.
Go back 15, 20 minutes.
Nortiana says that there is an exercise in the LRS course in which a participant read to someone in the group, but without saying the name, and people have to say who felt the reading was addressed to him or her. It is very surprising. Most of the time, people know when a reading is for them.
Ivan did.
And there's so many here. I'm doing a disservice, I hope, not to all these people who also put in comments here.
We have time. We're okay.
Mark said that what you said, Vadir, is a very famous acting teacher I know of, says is the difference between a not-so-good actor and a really good one. The good ones do what you described, that is, knowing that there is something, a deeper thing than the words.
Okay.
And let's see, where else? Simon said something much earlier. I can't find it right here, just scanning, but it was a good comment saying that he thinks that it is the intent, which is a force in and of itself, that enables you to get that message from Nortiana. And Silverdale agreed with that.
Yep.
So all of these things would seem to imply that we are making contact with ourselves as voyagers. All of these comments would be reflective of that, it would seem.
And, you know, Harry, the other comment I thought was really significant in this list, which for the most part we're caught up on, is the one from Vadir, where she says, now Vadir read with Simon, a Templar, with the readings, I find if I apply it to the present moment, it is the most powerful. Like whatever thoughts and feelings are circulating through me, and the reading dissolves them away. Just a way of describing being present as we perhaps meditate on these during the course of a day.
Thank you. I was looking for that quotation. That's pretty much it, David.
Okay, good.
Good scanning. Thank you. I know that's a hard job to find and select and speak them out, but I appreciate that you can do that so well.
Well, I got lost a couple of times there listening to David read chapter 13. It's uprooted me.
Thank you. We have one more topic, but before we get to that, and this is just going to take a minute, I strongly suggest that you team up again and do this again this week. I only had the capacity to do one chamber. Some of these people did six. I wasn't quite, I don't know how Nortiana felt, but I felt I had my plate full after that offering. But consider, is Magic Phoenix on?
Or I don't believe so.
Yes, I was wondering if Magic and they were going to do some reading. Do it again, if you'd like to pick somebody else, but do pick somebody. Make the effort to reach out or allow yourself to be reached by another, and maybe pick somebody different this time to see if this is an objective event or not. So I'm not going to assign everybody this week.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
But hopefully on the guide, people will pick each other.
Yeah. Let's make sure that the log stays up for a few more minutes. People can
get
that, and then it'll be, emailed, and then people have it. Yeah.
Okay, so the last thing I want to bring up, and it'll just be a few minutes. And Susan, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good. Can you describe where you are right now?
Well, I am laying in a hospital bed trying to have enough breath to carry on.
How long have you been there?
I've been here about a week. I came here last Friday.
So, I don't know how to approach this exactly. I was just wondering, here's one of our fellow team members, right? Susan's been an integral part of our group for 3 years, 4 years, something like that. And what can we do? What can we do together here? Any thoughts?
Well, a shared, out loud cycle of three clear lights seems appropriate.
Okay.
And if the group chooses, we could duplicate that again, even though we wouldn't be formally connected as we are right now. We could be intentionally connected by all agreeing to do it again, this time, tomorrow. No, I mean in person at wherever you are.
The camera's saying clear light orbs.
Yeah. Healing circle in the ashram.
Okay.
Good.
So one.
And ask Susan what she would like.
Okay. Susan, what would you like? What would you like that comes to mind from us?
Unfortunately, this phone keeps cutting out.
Okay. Well, the question that Pat brought up is to ask you, what would you like? What would you like?
What would I like?
Yeah.
I very much liked reading with Harry.
Okay.
I very much liked reading with George today. And I have already talked to Harry about reading the symptoms.
Right.
Like the beginning up through the clear light.
Right.
So Pat, the clear light.
I'm not hearing you right now, but I'm going to say that what I think you're asking for would be to have readings from the obligatory reader's invitation through reading number 4. So that would be reading number 1, 2, 3, and 4. That includes the symptoms.
Right.
Okay.
So people can actually do readings if it's something that you're moved to do for our person, for Susan.
I would like to have the name of the city where you are, Susan.
Denver.
Denver, thank you.
Susan, are you still leaving the hospital tomorrow, St. Joseph's tomorrow?
I sure hope so.
I'll bet you do.
I'm ready.
Sure how to do it.
Well, we can read together
so
on Friday.
EJ has just been talking recently about pulling together, how do you define it? A real short run. Like when you are feeling like things are very, like you're like short time for you, if you're feeling like a short time, what things do you need to do, and how can you receive help? And doing different gradients of that for different levels of necessity for receiving the teaching. And maybe that's something this group could work on.
Okay, good.
It sounds like there's some necessity here.
So that can be, we can expand on that. That's a great topic to expand on for during next week, and we can think about it during this period. Well.
And this request was come up with protocols.
Well, also is to come up with protocol, but also to allow there to be a space for Susan to say, here's some things I would like or need at this moment. So let's just open that up as a thought pause that, you know, and then we'll think about that, work on that over the next week, and then a couple of us will be talking to Susan and seeing what unfolds.
I'm back.
Okay.
Good. So we are looking for a ringy dingy. Here we go.
Did you just say something?
No, I said I'm back.
Good.
This is Hawk Lady. I wanted to say thank you, Susan, for giving me the opportunity to read for you.
Well, thank you. And you're welcome.
Here we go. This reading is directed to the benefit of all beings everywhere, for the benefit of the Absolute, for the being of Susan. Obligatory readers. Invocation. To the divine silence of each Who's deeper nature
lives in reality of itself. I am one. There is no other.
I am the voidness
of the void. The unborn.
The unborn.
Neither real nor unreal. All that I have been conscious of
is my own place of consciousness. A dance of light. A light. Infinite extension.
Confronting the clear light for the benefit of all beings everywhere, for the benefit of the Absolute, and for the being of Susan.
Well,
there you go. So if you'd like to continue that, you can read, this is not a bad time, in the evening or whatever you're moved to do in the next few days. Okay?
The tears just roll down.
It's called cleansing radiations, my dear. You gonna be okay?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Good night, Susan.
Thank you so much, Susan, for being there and letting us be part of your world.
Thank you very much. I love you guys.
We love you too.
We love you too.
Good night, Susan.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night.
Can you put the orb request
the,
off?
Is the phone?
It's up there.
Is it?
Yeah, it was on.